Merry Christmas, everybody, from the Preaching to Myself podcast. My name is John Hill. I'm your host. And for the first time ever, I have a guest with me on my show.
Hello.
This is my beautiful wife, Holly, my best friend in the whole wide world. And I'm just reminded now that today, it is Christmas Eve. 15 years ago, on this very day, I asked my best friend to be my wife. Shockingly, she said yes. So here we are 15 years later, recording a podcast because that's what responsible millennials do. We are at the kitchen table. We are about to wrap gifts. We got home from our church's Christmas Eve service earlier. We were serving the church, passing out cookies. Our kids were involved, and it was really awesome. You can probably hear our dogs in the background eating. Very casual. It's super casual. It's Christmas Eve. We just felt inspired to share a quick word. Just something mind-blowing that came up that I didn't know. I wanted to share just some really good Christmas stuff. So, Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. There is a lot of significance, apparently, with Bethlehem. There's a scripture, Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Like 700 years before Jesus was born, Micah prophesied that he would come out of Bethlehem, which, small town, small clan, but very significant in the history of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was where David was born and he grew up. Jesus was in his direct bloodline.
When he was a shepherd.
David was a shepherd.
As a boy.
And shepherding is very important in Bethlehem.
Yeah, just talk about that one more time. How cool. David. The shepherd Jesus
boy.
Comes from his family.
Yes.
Let's just, yeah, just remember
so
that.
So we're going to circle back around to that.
Love it.
That was huge. So Bethlehem was chosen as the birthplace of God's son because there was a place there in Bethlehem. It was a tower called Migdal Eder. It was a temple where lambs were set aside for temple sacrifices, right? So before Jesus came, every year at Passover time, every family, every household had to have a perfect, spotless lamb that was then sacrificed as atonement for their sin before God. That was just the way that they did things, right? So in that area, that general area, there were around 5 million people. So during Passover, which again was the kind of Hebrew celebration of God's chosen people, their deliverance from Egypt, right? One lamb was needed for every household. An estimated 250,000 sheep were needed every year just to accommodate for all those Passover sacrifices. So that tower, Migdal Eder, was kind of a perfect vantage point for them to watch over flocks. I'm kind of following along with this article from a paper called The Mirror.
It's like a newspaper, right?
Yeah. It's super interesting. It was an article published a couple of years ago.
In Canada.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I believe it's a Canadian newspaper. So thanks, Canada. Jenna Baldwin.
My sister was kind of telling me about this too.
Right.
So got to give her some credit. It was awesome.
So yeah. And this whole thing is super crazy. So every firstborn male lamb was considered holy and set aside for sacrifice in Jerusalem. So sheep herding was kind of a family occupation. So generations of shepherds were trained to take care of these special firstborn spotless lambs. And these shepherds had to risk their lives to protect sheep from predators and keep them from like falling into pits, and because it was very rocky and hilly in that area. In fact, the Bible talks about King David when he was a shepherd as a kid. There were times where he had to fight off a bear with his bare hands.
And look,
a lion.
Little
one
did
time.
He know who else he'd have to fight one day. I mean, it's just crazy. That's right. His own journey and story, but I
right.
love that.
So in that conference, God giving him the opportunity to defend himself and his flock from bears and lions, he then was like, yo, like Goliath, who are you?
Yeah.
Right?
That's like another whole good story.
Right. God kind of does that. He kind of weaves
it.
In.
He's in the details for
all
sure.
All of these. So Holly, talk about the manger and the significance of that.
Yeah, I'm not a pro on this, but so I thought it was cool because I always pictured a manger as your little wooden, I mean, I can see it. You know, the legs are like, they come out of a V.
Right, the crisscross.
Like,
yeah, it was like a V.
Wood, there's hay coming out of right. it, you know. And that's beautiful, right? That's what, I mean, you know. But it's not like, not necessarily what they always looked like. So maybe some of them did. But Bethlehem's mangers were made of stone. They were pretty deep. They just looked like a stone bassinet, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they were made out of stone and rock, and they were gray and, like, you know, just really hard. Like, they were made for a purpose, and the purpose was to keep those baby unblemished lambs safe while they were checking them over, while they were making, you know, seeing, hey, you know, do they have any spots? Are they good to go? Are these the ones that are going to be sent away to Jerusalem? And they would wrap them up in cloth, and you said the cloth was
right.
significant as well.
Yeah, so the newborn lambs would be wrapped tightly in specifically designated temple cloths.
And they would while be, they were examining
right,
them, right?
Right, and they would be contained in this manger.
That way you could, you know, they could look them over, and then they were right. there. So they would lay them in that stone manger. It was just wild. It was wild just to see that it wasn't. Wasn't that a little wooden manger, you know, with the
right,
hay
yeah.
and the,
it wasn't yeah. it wasn't a feeding trough like we all just kind of assumed, right?
Right.
And that was kind of like the thing that started to blow our minds, and we started to look into it more, and it's just the more we learned, the crazier it got. So shepherds would take these firstborn male sheep, they looked them over, examined them, making sure that they were truly spotless without blemish. And they led them to Jerusalem, where people would buy them for the Passover celebration.
I mean, I have a weird thing, but like, remember when, you know, that hit was put out on Jesus and they went and looked for all the firstborn males.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how many sheep there are that aren't perfect?
Right.
And they have to go through those.
If there's 250,000 perfect, blemishless sheep.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. There's only been so many. There has to only be but so many that mm-hmm. they could say, hey, yeah, this one, let's send it off. You know, like that's wild too.
Right. So when this angel appeared to shepherds in their fields.
Oh, I love it.
This angel told them that they would find the king.
Wait.
The savior.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Like when you like pictured the shepherds and the angel scenario, kind of mm-hmm. like we pictured the mangers. When you picture the shepherds, like, I mean, it did say they were like afraid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made sure it put that in scripture, but like, yeah, when I picture that, I just think of like, they see this angel, they're like, what's going on? But then they hear what you're about to say. They hear these words.
Right.
And then what?
The,
like,
the part
you know?
That blows my mind the most is
well,
that.
Make sure you say the, read what they say, I guess.
Right. The angel told them that they would find the Savior wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. They knew exactly what this was for. They knew exactly what this was a reference of. My whole life, I just assumed that it was shepherds, like, oh, just like random, average, everyday Joe kind of people.
Right, right.
There's significance in the fact that shepherds...
From Bethlehem.
From that Bethlehem shepherds were the ones that were first to have angels reveal to them. It wasn't just like word of mouth. It wasn't like, you know, somebody at the watering hole was talking about like, oh, did you hear? Like,
right. And I always thought like I know like the wise men followed the star, but like I always thought the shepherds did too, you know, like that's why they were like, wait, so the angel just said this and then there's that star, we're going to go. And now what I see is like these shepherds in the field and then the angel speaks to them and says like, listen, you're going to find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This is the savior of the world.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, I know exactly what to look for. So when they show up to the barn or wherever, you know, and they see Jesus laying there, like to them, they get it.
Right.
They get it immediately.
They understood the analogy. Those men, those shepherds were chosen specifically for their occupation because of their expertise. They understood the significance of the manger, of the cloth.
Why, I mean, I never even thought to ask why shepherds.
Yeah.
You know, like it was at one point I thought like, just to have like a random person come, you know, to believe, you know what I mean? Like God was like, well, let's have these people come so that they can tell others what they saw. And I'm sure that's part of it. But like now I'm like, oh my goodness, they've been preparing for this. There is so much significance in it. I mean, it's been prophesied, like, it's wild.
The place where he was laid, the cloths that he was wrapped in were specifically made for the lambs that would be slaughtered to atone for people's sins.
I didn't even think about that till now. Like I always thought where did they get the cloth? Like did Mary just like rip her dress? Like where did that cloth come from? And they probably had nothing. You know, they traveled for so long.
Right.
I doubt they had a bunch of stuff with them. They didn't have a lot of money. They were trying their best to find somewhere to go.
They were traveling just to go for a government census.
Right.
So they just packed supplies.
So, I mean, it makes sense to me. I want to believe that that cloth was there because of that. Because
for that purpose.
For the purpose of finding, that lamb that they're going
to
send
again,
off.
Again, no one ever bothered to ask
Jerusalem.
Where did the cloth come from?
Right.
The cloth was there because it was for lambs that were going to be slain.
Yeah, I believe that.
That manger was there
for
lambs that were going
to
be slain.
Absolutely.
30 years later, John the Baptist points out Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world."
Love it.
Yeah, here. It gets me, man.
Your eyes are wet.
Stop. I already said on the podcast that I don't cry. 2,000 years later. Jesus is still taking away sins of the world. And that's the significance of tomorrow. Listen, like, I know on this very podcast, I keep saying like, you know, don't let Christmas season just be boxes to check off and don't let it be, you know, just a series of tasks and don't get lost in all the sauce of all the things that you have to do. Holly and I are going to be pulling an all-nighter wrapping gifts.
We've been fighting
stuff
for
is
that.
Going on. Stuff is going on. Real world is hitting hard. Despite all of it, what we're celebrating on Christmas is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
Like he, like our Savior. Like just like our pastor said, it's one thing to be like grateful that God sent Jesus so we can be forgiven. But like, it's another thing to know, like he was sent here to save us so that we didn't have to live that same life, that we didn't have to live bound and oppressed and like this heaviness like every day, but he came so we can be free. We can be saved from that.
Yeah. Let me find
that.
I
love
that
so much. That was so good.
That was Matthew chapter 1.
Like our Savior came. I just love, you know, Jesus is my favorite. I love that this is his birthday day to celebrate. I have his banner on the wall. It says, Happy Birthday, Jesus. We're baking a cake tomorrow. We've got a cake topper.
It's a party.
We're going to sing it to him. We're going to worship him.
Matthew 1, verse 21 says, She'll give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's what it's all about.
I like the one in Luke. Isn't that the one that really goes into depth? What I think it was when the angel was speaking with Mary and was saying like all these, pretty much like all the names of Jesus. Talks about the government. I believe that's in Luke, that scripture.
Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy.
Right.
The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph in the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, How could this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man? As she was a virgin. The angel replied to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless, for nothing will be impossible with God. See, I am the Lord's servant, said Mary. Mm-hmm. May it happen to me as you have said.
That's wild.
And the angel left her.
Maybe it was the Isaiah scripture, but that one's so good. And I just love that Mary's like at the end of it all, she's like, you know what? I'll go. I'll do it. Like that. She's just like, all right, what you say, let's do it.
I mean, an angel shows up, like you don't say no, right?
Well, and I love the depiction of angels. Like, have you ever seen those drawings?
The biblically it's accurate amazing. Angels?
And like, I cannot imagine if that's right. What appeared to Mary and in saying all those things.
Because again, like since you're a kid, you think like, oh, like these little right. Like wingling beautiful yeah, men in the that white, are like, white robes and they're flowy
blonde
and stuff.
Hair always for some reason.
Do not Google biblically accurate angels. They are terrifying.
But so, if that's what it looked like and she was like, I am your servant, God, then okay, Mary.
Right.
Well, I'm going to hug you when I meet you.
her first reaction was like, oh, she's troubled. The shepherds, their first reaction was they were afraid.
They were afraid, yeah.
If one of these like gigantic, insane, powerful creatures shows up and they start talking to you, yeah. Like that's a reason to be afraid. And they're like, hey, don't be afraid. Right. I have a message from right. God.
They got it together real quick.
Right. She snapped out of it.
I might have been the Isaiah, but it's all good. But just, you know, I just think that story is so cool, you know, that there's more significance than we even knew.
Right.
I choose to believe all of that. I love it. And
right. Because there's so many details all over the Bible, but especially sure. In the story of Christmas where you could just blow past the details.
Yeah.
But everything is so specific and detailed and there for a reason. They wound up in the barn because there was no room in the inn. Yeah.
Which to them, I mean, I'm sure that was like horrible.
Right.
You have Mary. She's about to have a baby. We don't know how close.
Okay,
we don't
so
know.
You've given birth four times.
Yeah.
You ever done it on top of a pile of hay?
No.
How does that sound to be surrounded by
farm animals? It was bad enough to labor
animals.
In the car. So I'm just saying, like, I'm just, you know, like that could have been, I mean, we walk through that stuff, you know. I'll just give an example. You know, I went to the hospital ER with a loved one recently, and we weren't sure which hospital to go to. I even like put it on Facebook and I was like, which one's the best one? You know, times are weird right now. Like everybody's got some policies. I just wanted to go to the best place. And we were torn between two and we decided on one. And that's where we went. And it was like almost at the end of it when we were like, we probably went home within the hour after this happened, but somebody showed up and she was just in a lot of pain and, you know, was pacing around. And because we care about people, we just had already had a conversation with her, just trying to just, you know, let her know we see her and we felt so bad that she was suffering. But she said, just, you know, was telling us all the places that were full, all the patient first that were full, every hospital. And she listed the hospital that we almost went to and said, like, just it was ridiculously full and the wait was way too long. And it just, like, you know, I just thought in that moment, because I was praying for favor, praying for provision, that we almost went there. Like, we really almost went there. And we just all looked at each other like, we're just glad we came here. And we believe that God is, you know, he put that on our heart to come here for that reason. And it was such a good experience. But he really is in the details. That's why I say that. It's like, we just have to, like, look for those details and like, also invite him into our details, you know? Right. It's more than just, like, those big prayers every once in a while. Those little prayers are so significant, you know? Just that's how he gets in the mix of our lives.
So, again, going back to the prophecy, back to Micah, who said Bethlehem, David's birthplace, is where the Savior was going to be born. Joseph and Mary didn't live in Bethlehem. They were only there because of a government census.
Right.
Because had that census not happened, they wouldn't have had to go to Bethlehem.
Which I'm sure was annoying, right?
And had there not been that census and so many people were in town.
Right. It wouldn't have
had a room.
Right.
And had they had a room, they wouldn't have been in the barn. And had they not been in the barn, he wouldn't have been laid in a manger. And he wouldn't have been wrapped in those cloths for the lamb.
He could have been in someone's home.
Specific details.
They could have welcomed them in, fed them dinner. She had a nice place to birth this baby. In this home, there's no one to come visit. There's no one to – but that's not what God had. And
But thinking about the fact that there's nothing that God can't use.
Right.
To fulfill his prophecy.
Absolutely.
He used a government census.
He can use our mistakes. Like,
absolutely.
He can use
us
choosing something crazy. Like, he really will work all things for good. Like, he wants to. He's like, it's okay. Let's do this still. It's okay if I screw up and I'm like, God, I've done messed this up. And he's like, no, we can figure this out and we can make this work.
Yeah.
And like, down to the, you know, have you ever like missed? Okay, I miss my exits like all the time. It's terrible.
We're on the phone every time.
I'm about to ask John if he's ever done this, and he's already know. He's gonna look at me like, really?
Because I use the GPS.
But you know, like, have you ever? Sometimes when I miss my, I'll just be real. Okay, sometimes when I miss my exits, I think to myself like, there's a reason. Maybe like I was meant to, you know, like maybe God's like, you know what? It's okay. You're gonna be safe now going this way. I don't know, but it, like, it's just those little moments and those little details and like. I do believe God's truly working in our life like that, though. You know, there's so many things we'll never even know that God has done in our life and or used us for.
Absolutely.
I call them kingdom things, you know, things we might know one day in heaven.
There's conversations that we've had that could be life changing to people.
Right.
Ways that we've served in the church, the ways that we've connected with people. The thing is
conversations
is
we've had.
If you're always
in
everything that you're doing, if you're trying to find ways to follow Christ, if you're trying to even speak as a Christ follower, every little thing that you do, you don't know the implications, the ripple effect that could have. This podcast, I don't know who listens to it. There's people that approach me and be like, oh, dude, like, I'm like,
I love that.
And that's amazing. People that I don't even know that listen to it will be like, dude, listen to your podcast. And like, I'm so thankful for every person. And everybody that says, like, this is, like, helpful. Like, thank you for talking about it. And again, like, just this little thing that, you know, Holly's been pushing me to do for years. Like, find an outlet. Share what God's talking to you about. You never know. You never know how God's going to use you. So just do the thing. Just follow Christ. Just talk to people about Jesus. Just do. Because whatever you put out there, God is going to use. If it's as intentional and detailed as a government census that leads to them traveling, which leads to a full inn, which leads to them in a manger, which leads to the specific detail of the spotless lamb and shepherds coming to see the spotless lamb and understanding the significance of the symbolism that was created there.
I mean, there's obedience, though. We go back to that scripture where Mary's approached by the angel, and she's so quick to say, like, show her obedience to God.
Right.
So I believe this whole journey for her, she's very aware of what God's called her to do.
Right.
And so when you are like that, when that's your mindset and your perspective, right, and you fix those eyes on Jesus.
That's why anytime I hear, Mary, did you know? Like, yeah. She knew.
Oh, yeah. She totally knew. She totally did. I think so.
She got tipped off. Like, you're going to give birth to the Savior.
Right. I mean, I'm sure.
She knew.
She knew to some extent. But you got to, like, have that aware. You know, I don't know. Fix those eyes on Jesus. Remember, Holy Spirit is here on earth for us. Mm-hmm. You don't have to earn that. You don't have to look for that. You don't have to.
It's free.
Put it on. You don't have to turn it on. Like, Holy Spirit is ready to walk with you every single moment of the day. It's just ready to go. And I feel like that's when God is in those details, you know? I do. And I just love that story. And I just thought it was so cool. And I was getting hyped up when I was telling John and he was looking it up. And we were just like, yes.
And I'm like, why are we not recording now? Because the second time is always good. Like, you know, well, it was okay. But the first time we were just sitting on the couch, like getting hyped. And yeah. I was like, I'm setting up the microphones.
We have a lot of presents to wrap.
We have so much to do. But we wanted to spend Christmas with you.
I had all of these like expectations for Christmas and I have to just let them go. And I feel like that's something God's trying to just say, you know what? Like, just let some of that go. And like,
the only expectation that you need on Christmas is Jesus.
It's so right.
Expect Jesus.
Absolutely.
Expect him to show up. Expect him to just be blessed, you know?
Like, yeah.
So we just wanted to share that word.
Yeah.
With all of you. And I hope that was super cool, just like the first time. Or maybe everybody else on planet Earth knows this and we're the last ones to find it. I don't know.
Hey, yeah, it's fine.
But I'll take it. Just like the more I read about it, it was super mind blowing. So
it's really cool.
It was really rad. But thanks so much for listening. The first couple months of doing this podcast has been super cool. If you haven't followed along, follow, find us on the socials, do all the things. It's Christmas. That's not what this is about. But I'm excited to record more. I'm excited to get more people in on the fun and maybe talk to my wife more about some different things. But we're going to get to wrapping gifts and doing all the Christmas stuff. And I really hope that you're enjoying your Christmas if you're listening to this, or you did enjoy your Christmas if it's after the fact. But just remember how specific and amazing and wonderful God is and how he's never going to waste anything. Everything works for his good, for the kingdom. So just keep following him because he's worth it. And living this life for him is worth it. So much love to everybody. Hope to see you back here again on the podcast. Until next time.
Do I say bye?
You probably should.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Till next time. Peace.